You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The NFL Podcast with Gil Alexander and Dave Kellner.
Hello all, welcome along to the latest edition of the NFL Podcast here with William Hill. Week number 5 in the National Football League coming up. And it is Dave Kellner here in the UK, ready to be joined stateside by Gil Alexander, the host of the Guessing the Lines podcast and the Megapod, which goes out on a Thursday as well, covering all the American football action. So it's a good morning now and a warm welcome to Mr. Gil Alexander. How are you doing, Gil?
Dave, I'm doing better now that the Cardinals won last night, which is a nice way to bounce back from a terrible week last week. We'll see what we can do this week.
Yeah, I've got my fingers firmly crossed here in the studio, Gil, and it was a good performance from the Cardinals last night, back on track with a 33-21 win in San Francisco, and I think many people expected a big week from David Johnson at running back, and they weren't disappointed, Gil.
No, big fantasy gains for David Johnson, for anybody who had him on their fantasy team, for sure. I don't know how much that was the Cardinals last night so much as it was the 49ers just once again doing exactly what they did last year. A great opening night game, week one, Monday night, following the exact same script they had last year. And then everything after that, just a bunch of crap. And Blaine Gabbert is now 9-31 straight up in his first 40 starts as an NFL quarterback. I think there's only one player in the history of the NFL that has a worse percentage mark through that many starts. He's just not anything more than a journeyman quarterback. Mm. The Niners had a bad turnover to start off the second half, and that's pretty much what propelled the Cardinals last night.
Is there any way you can explain San Francisco winning so comprehensively in week one and then being pretty abysmal for the following 3 weeks? Is there any explanation for that, Gil?
You know, I don't know. We couldn't explain it last year either. You know, Carlos Hyde had a huge game opening night against the Vikings last year. Remember, the Vikings went on to the playoffs. They ended up covering, you know, 14 out of 17 games last year. So there's no explanation on either side of the ball last year in the Vikings-Niners game. And then this year, remember, the Niners crushed the Rams, and the Rams are sitting at 3-1. So there's no explanation to this. I'll tell you what there is an explanation for, a little off topic here, Dave. But everyone is talking about how, why don't the Niners play Colin Kaepernick? And endless amounts of hours are devoted to this on TV about, is it the fact that Blaine Gabbert is outplaying him in practice, like everyone's saying in the coaching staff? Is it because Colin Kaepernick is taking a political stand, some backlash against that? What is exactly happening? And the answer is very simple. None of these people are getting to the point. It's Colin Kaepernick's contract, Dave. That is why he will not see the field unless Blaine Gabbert gets hurt. It's the same thing as RG3 with the Redskins last year. If Colin Kaepernick gets on the field and gets hurt, the 49ers are on the hook for $14 million. They simply do not want to pay that to Colin Kaepernick. So they will not, under any circumstance, let him on the football field short of a Blaine Gabbert injury this year. That's the story. None of this other stuff that you're hearing about.
Good stuff, Gil. It's good to have that insight on this podcast, because I wouldn't have known that sitting in this seat. So it's good for you to enlighten us here in the UK about Colin Kaepernick, who is taking that political stance in the United States right now. We always preview the televised games on this podcast, Gil, but we've got a small problem with the Monday night game, because yes. Cam Newton was concussed late on in that match against Atlanta last week, and his participation in question. So we haven't got a line for the Monday night game here in the UK, or I presume over in the States either.
No, I had the same problem with my show yesterday, and I don't recall there ever being another circumstance where this late in the week we don't have a line on a primetime game, but we don't know if the reigning NFL MVP will play or if it'll be Derek Anderson. So, yeah, no line there on the Carolina-Tampa Bay game. Both teams reeling, by the way. Mm. Both teams 1-3 with lots of problems.
How much do you think, if just going off kilter before we get stuck into these matches, Gil, how many points is Cam Newton worth to the Carolina Panthers from a betting point of view?
Oh, I view for sure. I mean, look, he's not based on his performance this year, right? But based on what we saw, what we've seen of him previously, he can control a ball game all by himself. But not having Jonathan Stewart in the backfield, and more importantly, the Panthers with arguably Dave, the you know, very close to the exact same personnel they had last year on defense, are just not performing in the same way. And so, yeah, Cam's worth a few points. You know, look, I had a discussion with Rufus Peabody, one of the most successful, if not the most successful professional sports bettor I know on my show yesterday here in the U.S., and he thought that the difference between Brian Hoyer and Jay Cutler is worth a couple points in Chicago. So if that's the case, it's not a stretch to think that the difference between Cam Newton and Derek Anderson is a few points as well, at a minimum.
Yeah, that's the Monday night game. Let's start with Sunday's action. And 6 p.m. Start time for the Houston Texans at the Minnesota Vikings. And the Texans are 5-2 on the money line. The Vikings 1-3. And this spread has settled at 7. The Texans plus 7, 20-23, with the Vikings minus 7 at 20-21. This game will be the fourth all-time meeting between the Vikings and the Texans. And Minnesota has won the first three, and they are 4-0 this season as well. But the Texans are going along steadily. They are 3-1 and top of the AFC South. They're 27-0 loss to New England is bound to be still fresh in the memory, Gilda, when they travel for this road game at the Vikings, who have opened the doors on their new US Bank Stadium and enjoyed immediate success. I was reading a piece in the Telegraph over here, Gil, one of our broadsheet newspapers, and that is the most incredible piece of architecture I've ever seen, that US Bank Stadium. I didn't realize what the stadium looked like until I read that piece, and it's incredible.
I haven't read enough about it, but just on site, just seeing it on TV, Dave, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it is beautiful. It is just gorgeous. And apparently inside, quite the home field advantage in terms of the noise created as well. So, you know, we know that from a couple games now, both primetime games. We won't get a primetime game here. This is their first Sunday day game. But yeah, just from an aesthetic standpoint, just gorgeous. And then maybe another Seattle, you know, in terms of home field. We'll see as this moves forward. But I'll tell you this, Dave, I'm done going against the Minnesota Vikings. I am done. I've learned my lesson. Forget about it. This defense is epic.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think here we've got the real deal in the Vikings against pretenders in the Texans to a certain extent. The Vikings have beaten Tennessee, Green Bay, Carolina, and the New York Giants last week in primetime, while the Texans have beaten Chicago, Kansas City, and Tennessee, and were killed in their first real test against the Patriots this season. So I think we've got the real deal in the Vikings against the pretenders in the Texans.
Well, and against the Patriots with Jacoby Brissett, right? Not even their second-string quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, look, there's lots of ways to look at this, but let's take this from a football standpoint. Mike Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, who's a defensive-oriented coach, he's doing some things on defense that are just awesome. And he's doing it against veteran quarterbacks like Eli Manning. In other words, he'll show a nearly identical pre-snap look that Eli Manning has seen on tape from a previous week. So Eli Manning thinks he knows what's coming, and then Mike Zimmer, knowing that he thinks he knows what's coming, will do something very different, right? So that's what NFL coaches try to do on a weekly basis. But Mike Zimmer is doing it better than anybody from a defensive standpoint. So Manning would recognize things, and then the Vikings, instead of blitzing, say, would roll back into coverage when he thought they were going to blitz, or the opposite. And so they're very smart on defense. They're very aggressive. And then all of it's possible when you have a guy like Xavier Rhodes in the secondary who shut down Odell Beckham Jr. Worst game of Odell Beckham Jr.'s career, 3 catches for 23 yards last week. So now you get to face Brock Osweiler, who, again, is a very neophyte quarterback. Let's not mistake that for anything else. Osweiler is still a young guy, hasn't started very many games, and he is the 23rd-ranked quarterback so far this year at a 32, ranked by Pro Football Focus. He's actually 30th, third to last by another advanced metric site here, Football Outsiders, with their defense-adjusted value over average stat. So Osweiler's not getting it done just on conventional stats. He's already matched his 2015 season total of 6 interceptions in half the games played, half the games that he played last year, and 5 of those 6 interceptions have been on passes intended for his number one receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, so he's kind of forcing it in there. Meanwhile, you know, you have their running back, Lamar Miller, because of that, or, you know, chicken and egg, who knows what causes what, right? He's only averaging a career-low 3.8 yards per carry. And Football Outsiders, who I just mentioned, my friend Aaron Schatz's great site, they have him graded as the second worst qualifying running back in the NFL right now. So that, before even playing the Vikings, is what the Vikings will be facing this week. Say no more for me.
And in addition to that, the Texans, we've seen how they've coped without J.J. Watt defensively, because this is a defensive unit, isn't it? A defensive team, the Houston Texans. We've seen how they've coped without J.J. Watt, but now they've lost their defensive end, Devin Still, as well. So that defense will be tested further on Sunday afternoon. Both teams have, in inverted commas, serviceable quarterbacks, with Sam Bradford for the Minnesota Vikings, and you've spoken in detail about Brock Osweiler. Having said that, Osweiler has been picked 6 times this season and has come in for criticism as a result. So the Vikings look stronger, I think, in every department here, Gil.
They do, and look, I mean, look, I don't enjoy giving as many points as we're giving here. I don't know what you have it at right now, Dave, but it's somewhere around 5.5, 6 points, somewhere in that range.
We've got it at 7. Right, we've got it at 7 now, Gil.
Oh, it's up to 7. Okay, I see 6.5 here currently. So I played this when it was a little lower than that. I don't know that I'd give the full 7. I'd want to keep it below 7 here. But Sam Bradford has sort of been the foil to what you just mentioned about Brock Osweiler. No interceptions, 0 interceptions in 95 passes this year. Again, no one's going to mistake Sam Bradford for Tom Brady. But he's getting more and more comfortable with his teammates every single week. Not only has he thrown no picks in 95 passes, Dave, but he has found 9 different, or he found 9 different receivers against the Giants on Monday night. So, you know, 69.5% completions, 8.4 adjusted yards per attempt, 105.5 quarterback rating. Trust me, that's good. That's a pretty damn good start to any season. So if you didn't see the name Sam Bradford there, you would take those numbers.
That's the Houston Texans at the Minnesota Vikings, which is a 6 p.m. start time on Sunday here in the UK. Let's look at the Atlanta Falcons at the Denver Broncos, which is 9:05 p.m. And Atlanta 9-5 on the money line. The Broncos are 5-11. And this spread is at 4.5 right now. The Falcons plus 4.5 at 10-11. The Broncos minus 4.5. At 10-11, we go from a couple of really strong defensive units in the Texans and the Vikings to maybe the best of them all, Gil, with Atlanta travelling to Denver on Sunday evening. The Broncos' defense in the hands of Wade Phillips has only allowed an average of 169.5 yards through the air this season, and the Broncos have moved stylishly to 4-0 and the top of the AFC West. They should be tested. They should be tested on Sunday by the Falcons, who have been incredible so far this season, especially with Matt Ryan linking up with Julio Jones.
Really have been. And last week against the Panthers, an all-timer. It's never happened before, where a quarterback has thrown for over 500 yards and a single receiver has caught over 300 yards worth of those 500 yards. It happened. Matt Ryan with 503 passing and Julio Jones with 300 yards receiving last week against the Panthers. And we've already talked about the Panthers' defensive problems this year. But this is one of those games, I think, Dave, where I go back to my perception of these teams before the season started. So we're 4 games in. We're a quarter of the way into the season for both of these teams. But 4 weeks ago, I was very, you know, like many people, still bullish on the Broncos. After all, they were Super Bowl champions. They did so really without any quarterback play last year, and there was no reason to believe that the Broncos wouldn't be a playoff team at a minimum again this year. But Atlanta, to me, is a team with, you know, we're a team with a lot of flaws, and I'm not so sure I'm sold on them, even with a 3-1 record. Even having beaten the Panthers like they did last week, I just have trouble thinking about them going into the altitude in Denver. And again, that's a big deal to go into the mile high city of Denver and to acclimate to that climate. And they're not used to doing that. It's not like they're in the same conference. So it's very rare that they do this, the Atlanta Falcons. But Matt Ryan can't say anything, bad about what he's accomplished in four games. 21 pass plays of more than 20 yards. Problem is the Broncos secondary led by Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. And by the way, Aqib Talib versus Julio Jones, what a matchup that's going to be. Those two guys have only allowed six passes total of 20 plus yards and zero of 40 yards or more. So, and the Denver defense also leads the NFL in sacks with 17 this season. Falcons offensive line has only allowed nine, but they haven't seen a defense like that of Denver. That's my point. And, again, I'm gonna raise Rufus Peabody, who was on my show yesterday. Again, successful American professional bettor, who, by the way, like me, is having a terrible first 4 weeks of the NFL season. I mean, it's really amazing how tough this has been for professional bettors. He actually likes Atlanta in this game. I'm going against him. I like Denver.
I quite like Denver as well. I suppose the factor to go against the Denver Broncos this week, or something that you could factor into your assessment of the matchup, is that the four teams that the Broncos have beaten hold a combined record of 5-11, so they haven't had the toughest schedule to start with, the Denver Broncos.
No, they haven't. They haven't at all. The only and look, we still don't know much about their quarterback either, to be fair. Trevor Siemian is four starts into his career. He got hurt last week, and Paxton Lynch had to clean things up for him last week. And so we really don't know. Gary Kubiak has been sort of coy about who will play here. It appears to be Siemian who will get the start, but it wouldn't surprise anyone if we see Lynch again in the coming weeks anytime soon. But Simeon's been okay. He's been serviceable, which is all the Broncos really need. Again, Peyton Manning didn't give him anything last year, So that's the Broncos formula. Not having Peyton Manning allows for Gary Kubiak to install his offense of choice. Simeon and Lynch have run it effectively to date. But yeah, they're young. So they're not immune to mistakes. It's not as if Denver is, Superman here and infallible. But again, giving 4.5 home game against an Atlanta team that just is going to be a little overmatched by this defense, I'll take the Broncos.
I get the feeling the Broncos won't be as naive as the Panthers were last weekend either, Gil. I think that the Panthers were clearly scared of that combination of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and they stacked the box basically and left Julio Jones one-on-one, which is always a recipe for disaster, I find, when you leave one of the best receivers of all time one-on-one on the outside. And the Broncos won't do that, will they? They'll have a plan to deal with Julio Jones, and they can rush and harry Matt Ryan as well, which will be a big thing for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, there's a couple things. Last week, every professional bettor, including, myself, let me raise my hand. We all had Tampa Bay against Denver. Public had Denver last week. And that game was over if you just watched within 5 minutes. You could tell the Buccaneers were so overmatched. It's like they didn't even want to be there after a while. The Broncos just deflated them very quickly. And the Falcons are one of these teams that, when they're on turf, when they're in a dome stadium on turf, they're a much better football team offensively. They seem to operate at a different speed. The Rams were kind of like that last year as well. We'll see how the Rams perform in their new home this year. But this is a different environment for the Falcons. And boy, no one can sort of shoot holes in your confidence quicker than the Broncos D can. So we'll see how that goes this weekend. But I like Denver.
Let's go prime time now. The New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers is late Sunday night, early hours of Monday morning here in the UK. And the New York Giants are 13 to 5 on the money line. The Green Bay Packers are 5 to 16. And this spread is 7 currently. The Giants plus 7 at 20 to 23. The Packers minus 7 at 20 to 21. Full range of markets on the William Hill website right now. and the total points line is set at 48. The under 10 to 11 with the over at 10 to 11. Gil, we talked about the Giants last week and how they often seem dangerous as an underdog on the road. And once again, they're in prime time on the road at the Packers. They now stand 2-2 in the NFC East after that loss in Minnesota. And with that game coming on Monday night, they are on a short rest here. Does that affect the thinking for this matchup, Gil?
Well, it does. I mean, I think that's already incorporated into the number. The fact that the Giants are on short rest and the Packers, it should be noted, Dave, are on long rest. The Packers played, you know, the Packers didn't play last week. They were on a bye week. So you're dealing with that, you know, oddity where one team is extra rest and one team is short rest. So that is already embedded in the line, which is either at 7 or 7.5, depending on where you look. I guess right now, what do you have it at, William Hill?
We've got it at 7, but the Giants favored at that number, Gil. So Giants plus 7, 20-23 currently.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well. And, you know, look, I said earlier, I'm not going to make the mistake of going against the Vikings again. Well, you know what, Dave? I will risk the mistake of taking the Giants again. A glutton for punishment I might be. But I just think this shouldn't be 7. Like, the Giants are just, they can't get it together. And again, Eli Manning has won 2 Super Bowls. This is the problem with Eli Manning. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's also, you know, this is a non-betting thing here, but he's also 2 touchdowns away from becoming the 8th player in NFL history with 300 touchdown passes. He's also 1 win away from his 100th victory. But 2 touchdowns away from becoming the 8th player in history with 300 touchdown passes. Now, I realize there's different eras in football, so we throw more touchdown passes these days. But the fact that Eli Manning is in that rarefied air is just amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And he's got great weapons. Odell Beckham Jr., yes, he's had a terrible tantrum-filled 4 games. Again, 3 catches for just 23 yards, a career low last week against the Vikings. He says he's not having fun. He hasn't found the end zone in 4 games this year. But remember, just last year, 25 touchdowns in the first 27 games of his career. So over the first 2 seasons of his career, 25 scores in 27 games. He is just 1 catch away from regaining all the confidence he needs. And again, Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, it's only a matter of time before those 3 go off. And the Packers' pass defense, Dave, has allowed 8.3 yards per pass attempt. Only the Jets have performed worse in secondary. Sam Shields, their standout corner, won't be there again. He's going to miss his 3rd consecutive game with a concussion. And last year's first-round pick, Demarius Randall, not really getting it done, struggling a little as the team's top cornerback right now. So, you know, if there's a team that they're going to wake up against, it's the Packers' defense. There's some, you know, truth to the fact that the Packers have given up a lot of yards in garbage time. But at the same time, that's a depleted secondary, as I just mentioned. If the Giants are going to get it going, it is in this matchup. And if they're getting 7 points, I like them. I wouldn't do it if they were getting less than that. I'm not going to think that the Giants are going to win this game outright, though they could, because, again, it is Aaron Rodgers they're playing.
You mentioned Eli Manning, Gil, and I think his matchups with the Packers are almost a microcosm of his career, because he's 2-3 in his series meetings with the Green Bay Packers. But the 3 games that he's lost against them have been in the regular season. The 2 games he's won have been the ones that matter in the postseason, and that's the way Eli Manning has worked throughout his career.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure those wins were the same years that the Giants won their Super Bowls, I believe, in 2007 and 2011, both ending up with victories over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. 2007 being the one that prevented the Patriots from having the perfect season. They came into that game with a perfect record. So, yeah, Eli Manning's career is really like no other. But that rest, you know, that's the mitigating factor. And again, it's already embedded in the line, so it's not like people don't know this, but, you know, and it's not in the market. But Green Bay, extra rest, Giants, short rest. That means something in the NFL. But the Giants couldn't have looked worse on Monday night. Could not have looked worse. I think this is a real bounce back situation for them.
Is there anything in the Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo returning to Green Bay, because he spent a lot of his career in Green Bay? He knows Aaron Rodgers as well as anyone. The two parties, both Rodgers and McAdoo, have played it down in the lead up to the match. Do you think McAdoo will have any way of stopping Aaron Rodgers, or do you not see that as a factor?
None whatsoever. None whatsoever. He was the, he was the tight ends coach. I'm glad you brought it up, though, because people, you know, make this mistake, I think. He was the tight ends coach from 2006 to 2011 in Green Bay. He was their quarterbacks coach in 2012 and 2013. So we're now in 2016. He hasn't been there for three seasons. And the person that I would, you know, don't believe me on this, the person that I would point you to is Chris Cooley, who used to play tight end for the Washington Redskins and did so very well for many years. He then got a job on the radio in D.C. And the very next season, before opening day, he said very famously on radio in D.C., he said, look, guys, he goes, I played for this team last year. Trust me, I have no idea what they're doing. You know, so that shows you that. And again, I know we're talking about a player versus a coach here. But McAdoo hasn't been there for 3 years. That's no advantage for the Giants. I wish it were, but it's not.
Taking the Giants plus the points then in the game on Sunday night. As we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Carolina Panthers on Monday night football, early hours of Tuesday morning here, there's no line available basically for the matchup because Cam Newton's participation is in doubt at the moment. What's the gut feeling on Newton as we speak here Friday afternoon, Gil?
My gut feeling, which is nothing more than a gut feeling, Dave, is that he will not play. Because if you don't practice on Wednesday or Thursday, and again, this is not an injury to your arm. This is a concussion. And if the NFL is really serious about this stuff and protecting its players, I don't think he should play. And look, there's been opportunities before this past game for Cam to have gone into concussion protocol. They just kind of looked the other way. This is one where he was, you know, lollygagging into the end zone and got crushed at the goal line, helmet to helmet hit. They need to take a precaution. They need to sit him.
Okay, so no line for that matchup on Monday night. So we'll finish, as we always do, Gil, with the pick six, your six best bets for this this weekend in the National Football League.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is one of them was the Arizona Cardinals last night, which is before we go to air. So I will pick six besides that. Is that the game plan?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, let's do that. All right, so where do you want to start? Shall we start with the... Let's start with the Sunday day games. How about that? We'll start with the Sunday day games. Baltimore Ravens, Dave, giving four against my Washington Redskins. I like the Ravens. This is a spot that, again, only Redskin fans can tell you is not a good one for the Redskins. They don't travel to out-of-conference teams. Even the fact that it's just up the Beltway, just up I-95, a little half-hour to 45-minute drive in a bus to go see the Ravens, not a good spot for the Redskins. I think the Redskins are very flawed. They should have lost to Cleveland last Sunday and somehow not only won but covered thanks to Cleveland blunders. But I love the Ravens. It's pick number one. Pick number two, we discussed the Denver Broncos Sunday afternoon. I love the Broncos given the points against the Falcons. That defense is going to be too much for a Falcons team that is probably a little overvalued at this point after the way they put up all those yards against the Panthers last week. Pick number three, also, of course, on Sunday morning, the Vikings, we talked about it, over the Houston Texans. Vikings are in the rare position now these days of being a favorite, but I'm not going against that Viking defense anymore. The Vikings are pick number three for me. Also on Sunday, the Detroit Lions are pick number four, Dave. Detroit Lions, a home underdog to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Lions are 1-3. The Eagles coming off a bye, undefeated, 3-0. And everybody's talking about how Carson Wentz is the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game. I'm exaggerating, but that's how it feels. And I brought up on my show yesterday, Robert Griffin III had a spectacular rookie season, the likes of which Carson Wentz hasn't even performed a fraction close to as good as RG3 did for an entire season. Let's slow down on Carson Wentz. I like the Lions at home getting the points. The Lions are my pick. I think the Eagles are very overvalued at this point. Pick number five, we haven't touched on. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills at the LA Rams. Just because the Rams are at 3-1, I think they're overvalued here too as well. Buffalo's a good football team. They beat the Patriots, of course, without Tom Brady last week. I think they ride that momentum into a second consecutive week. Now, Bills fans will tell you, doesn't usually happen 2 weeks in a row for them, but I think it does here. The Bills are my fifth pick. And then the sixth pick is in that Sunday night game. I'm taking the Giants. I'm taking the points at Green Bay, as we discussed.
Superb. Thank you, Gil. Thank you for your company. And as you mentioned on your podcast, which you'll be able to find on Gil's Twitter, at Beating the Book, you've got the usual array of guests, and Rufus Peabody is your special guest this week.
Yes, Rufus, who comes on, you know, a couple times every year. Really, really sharp guy who is now also doing stuff at ESPN, on ESPN Chalk on their website. So things looking good for Rufus. Kind enough of him to come on the show again.
Do keep your eye on out on Gil's Twitter for those podcasts. They will pop up during the week. Guess in the Lions podcast on Monday and the Megapod, which is on Thursday afternoon. Thank you for your company as per usual, Gil. Good luck with those six selections on the Pick Six, and we'll catch up next week.
Thank you so much, Dave. Appreciate it.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey-o, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.